This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I think the Bucks are going to be okay. Just throwing that out there.
Do you?
I think they're going to be okay. I don't know. Maybe I'm nuts. I think the Bucks are going to be okay.
Why do you think that?
I think that Chris Middleton has not been playing, and I don't think people realize how important he actually is to all of it. Mm-hmm. And when I say okay, I'm not suggesting that they're the best team in the East or anything like that. I don't know. I have this weird feeling they're going to be okay. And I know beating the Sixers without
what is okay, though?
Yeah,
what
does that mean?
Conference finals?
So the conference finals.
They just got to avoid Miami.
It has to be the floor for that team, conference finals?
Yeah, don't you think?
I mean, I would agree. When you got Dame and Giannis on the same team.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can have so much confidence in a Doc Rivers coach squad that everything is going to be okay.
It just feels like everything's going to be reversed now. They're like, all the hate towards Doc is going to like actually make them good. I don't know. I have a weird thought about Milwaukee that maybe they're going to be okay.
But what changed your mind on it?
They're winning. Like they're now
they
starting
beat the Sixers?
Well,
that's what makes you feel great
about
exactly.
it? Yeah, exactly.
It's better than losing.
Sure,
it's better than
but
losing, but I mean, it's just...
It's not a big confidence
they
win.
They beat the Sixers without Joel Embiid? That's what makes you feel like everything is going to be all
exactly.
right?
Exactly. That's why I was wondering.
Well, I'm not saying everything's going to be all right and perfect. I don't know. I just have a weird feeling that things are going to be okay for the Milwaukee Bucks, that they're going to hover around the conference finals. And I think when you look at the Eastern Conference now, the Knicks are banged up.
So, feet to the fire, you think they're going to make the conference finals?
If they avoid Miami in early rounds.
No, it's not
well,
if they
can't
avoid
beat Miami.
Miami. It's not if they avoid Miami. Feet to the fire, do you think they're going to get to the conference final?
Yes, I do.
And why don't you think they could beat Miami?
Well, they've had a terrible history against them, and they're completely sure. unafraid of them. I think that there are some teams that would play against Milwaukee and somewhat be fearful of them. I don't think Miami is one of them. I don't think Boston's one of them, obviously. I don't think Boston should be afraid of anyone. I do wonder about Boston's depth, though. I mean, we're going to talk about Phoenix's depth after they win yesterday against the Lakers, but I do wonder about their depth as well. And that Western Conference is insane, right? I mean, you look at the top of the Western Conference. Anuno, our producer, has asked the question, and it's an interesting one, as to which one of these teams, 5, 6, 7, and 8, can graduate to a true contender. Sacramento, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Dallas. I only think Phoenix of that group. I'm not ready to say anything about Dallas graduating to contender status. I just don't trust them because of the point guard. Yeah, not Luka, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that would be the team that I would probably circle and say, I believe they can get to that point. I just don't – I mean, if you're Phoenix, I get that you have a really good big three, but they don't play a lot of defense either. Like, Phoenix is not great defensively, and at some point you got to stop somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, at least I know with Dallas, they have somebody that can be somewhat of a rim protector. They've got a front court player in P.J. Washington now that can stretch the floor, that gives Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving a little more room to operate. I just like what they're building. And again, like I said, Tim Legler said that last week when he was on the show with us, that the Mavs can go on a deep playoff run. Take a listen.
You have Dallas, which I think is – they're really going to open some eyes, I think, here
really?
The last 25 games. Yes, Dallas looks really? Scary to me. Mm-hmm. With the two – those two acquisitions were not talked about, trading deadline, right? Gafford and P.J. Washington. They now can go the entire game with a legitimate 6'10 and up athletic big with Lively or Gafford. They don't have to go small lineups where they're playing an undersized guy at the five with Powell or Kleba. They've got a legitimate shot-blocking, rim-running center on the floor at all times. And P.J. Washington is just a better fit, a little bit more of a complete player than Grant Williams. So they upgraded both spots. Kyrie looks energized right now. I know, look, I know those – we know how Kyrie is. That could go away at some point. But right now, they look scary to me as a team that could legitimately make a run all the way to the conference finals.
So I hear what Legs is saying. I have to see it to believe it, honestly, because I just don't trust Irving. I just can't. I just can't.
That's the point when he said there about Kyrie, but that could go away. That's what shies me away from believing in them, is because you're right. You have to 100% believe that you're going to get this consistently from Kyrie Irving, and I just can't go there.
Well, hold on. If Kyrie is on the court, then I can go there. Like, the biggest question I have about Kyrie Irving is he going to be on the court? Mm-hmm. Like, but if he's going to show up for work, then I have no problems with projecting the Dallas Mavs to go on a deep playoff run and find themselves in the Western Conference Finals, because Kyrie is just that good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got two guys that can get to the rim or get to their shot at will. I mean, there are not a ton of NBA teams that have that, but the Dallas Mavericks legitimately have two guys that can do that in Luka and Kyrie. And now I think they have the requisite pieces that surrounding those guys that complement them, right? You've got bigs that can knock down shots. You got a rim runner in Derek Lively the second. You've got P.J. Washington. You've got Gafford coming off the bench that can knock down some open shots. Not to mention some other guys, some other bigs that could be in the rotation. You have the pieces that it's going to take, in order to get there. So it's just a matter of those guys staying healthy and being on the court at the same time. We really didn't see that last year after the trade deadline with those guys on the court at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it felt like they were still trying to figure that out in the first part of this year. But it seems like water has found its level with those two players being able to coexist and share the basketball. And so that's why I think they're going to take off in the second half. I completely agree. Out of those teams that are, what, a half a game apart in the Western Conference, the number 5 through the number 8 teams in the West, I would say that the Dallas Mavericks are the one that I have the most confidence in getting to the conference finals.
I'm curious to know if you guys are writing some of these teams off. I want to throw some teams at you. You tell me if you're writing them off. And when I say writing them off, I mean getting the ability to get to the conference finals. Let's look at it that way, okay? So Eastern Conference, Philadelphia, 33-24. Obviously, no Embiid. There's been all kinds of reporting that maybe he does come back during
the regular season.
They're the 5 seed now, half game up on Indy. Game and a half up on Miami and Orlando. You writing Philly off?
No.
Okay.
No.
Not with the potential for Embiid to return. No way.
I'm not.
Miami, 31-25. They've won 3 in a row, 7-3 in their last 10. Are you writing Miami off?
No, cannot.
No.
Okay. Western Conference. Some teams, are you writing them off? We've established we're not writing off Phoenix and we're not writing off Dallas, right?
Correct.
In terms of getting to the conference final. I'm not going to be insulting and say Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Denver, and the Clippers, the top 4 seeds. Obviously, some of these teams are not going to get to the conference finals. Are you writing off the Lakers to get to the conference finals?
Yes.
Because?
They don't play defense and they can't shoot. They can't shoot. They don't play defense. They can't stop teams from shooting from deep. Their perimeter defense sucks. So, yes, I'm riding the Lakers off.
Smalls?
Yeah, I don't think I can go there either. It feels like after a not dramatic trade deadline that they're waiting for next season. I don't think we're going to see it out of them this year.
Golden State at 29-27. They're the 10 seed right now in the Western Conference. They're 10.5 games back of the 1. More importantly, they're about 4 games back of the 6 to get out of the play-in. Played very well recently, 8-2 in their last 10. Had a bad loss last night after a great start against Denver. Are you writing them off?
Yes, and it's no disrespect to what we've seen from them. It's just I think the West is so deep right now. Klay Thompson was great last night. He had 16 points in the first quarter, but it's too little, too often, not often enough, actually, where Klay Thompson is that bona fide third option for the Golden State Warriors. I just think they need more from him consistently in order to be a viable contender, and I don't think he's capable of giving it at this stage in his career.
It has been infrequent, but coming off the heels where I wrote off the Kansas City Chiefs all season long and then they won the Super Bowl, I feel like I can't do the same thing to Steph Curry and the Warriors without it coming back to bite me in some way.
Yeah, I'm not writing them off either. Are there any other perennial contenders or teams that people think are really good that you guys would say, I don't buy it, I'm writing them off right now? Knicks, all the injuries, 34-23. They're the 4 seed. The Pacers are the 6 seed. We know they score a ton of points. I don't know that anyone expects them to get to the conference finals. Minnesota and Oklahoma City are the 1 and 2 in the West, both 40-17. Now, again, Denver and LA Clippers are the 3 and 4. So somebody's obviously are not getting to the conference finals. Sacramento is the 5 seed. I can't see them getting to the conference finals.
Yeah, I just don't trust Sacramento's second option, right? De'Aaron Fox is unbelievable, but, I mean, Sabonis, do we really trust that he is going to be that guy that can step up and give you 30 on any given game in the postseason? I don't. Like, he struggled in postseason last year. What was that series against the Golden State Warriors? I think he averaged 16 points a game in that series. So, I mean, can you rely on Sabonis to carry the load, to shoulder the scoring burden if the opposing defense shuts down De'Aaron Fox? I don't know that we're there yet with Sabonis' overall game. Like, I know he's a good player overall, but in terms of him being a scorer, I don't know that we're there yet, which is why I'm fading him when it comes to going on a deep playoff run.
All right. We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. I wanted to bring up one other thing here that I heard over the weekend that I don't know how this works because I've been out of the game for a long period of time, and even when I was in the game, I had no game. On a first date, I heard about somebody bringing flowers to someone else. Is that the move on first dates?
No.
In 2024?
No.
On a first date? Probably not.
No.
When do you bring the flowers?
Not on the first date.
Second date? Third date?
No, it's got to be after the third date. Because after the third date, then all of a sudden, there's something there.
After the third date, we're hanging out.
Yeah. We talking.
We're introducing first date, second date, we're going to hang out.
Yeah, if we get to a third date and I'm going to see you after the third date, if there's going to be a fourth date, then yeah, I can bring you flowers then.
So entering the fourth date.
What about date three?
No. No.
So you arrive. Wait, third play
date,
this
the
out.
Third date is critical, Spalls. The third date is key.
But I
the
know
third
da-
the third date is key.
But some people might think because it is the critical third date that they're going to go above and beyond.
That just makes you feel. That makes you seem thirsty. I don't know. It just feels
thirsty.
Like it makes you seem thirsty. I mean, if a guy bought you flowers on the third date, wouldn't you like a little too eager, a little thirsty?
No, I think I would think it was so sweet.
You would think it's sweet?
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, so Cece, rewind the time here, because you're most recently married between the two of us, right?
Yeah.
So you're going on a third date with your wife. You bring her flowers. At that point, it's, oh boy. Like, you made a mistake in your mind. Like, I could not even comprehend the idea of a third date bringing my wife, well, now wife, so then girlfriend.
Yeah.
Or not even girlfriend at that time.
So on the third date between me and my wife, I took it to Sip and Paint, and I bought a bottle of wine, a nice bottle of wine, Caymus Special Selection,
oh,
the Magnum
date.
Bottle.
Yeah.
Because it's Sip and Paint.
Great.
So it's like, hey, I got a real nice bottle of wine. We got Sip and Paint, and then we did dinner afterward. So that was me bringing something, a gift that we could both share.
Hold did on. You paint?
You
yeah,
did.
Of course.
Wait
we
a minute.
Did Sip and Paint.
You did an activity and a dinner?
Yeah.
You might as well have brought flowers. You showed your hand.
I did. But
yeah,
I did.
What's the difference in that spot?
What do you mean? It's not flowers.
But you made a great effort. I give you credit.
I made a great effort. I had a great game plan, and I executed to a T, and we got the dub. That's all that matters. We got the dub. I got a wife. We're
we
good.
Got a dub.
Shoot or
see,
shoot,
that's the thing.
Shoot or shoot. Should they bring flowers?
Is shooting your shot?
No, listen. I think bringing the wine for the Sip and Paint was the way to go.
Oh, I'd rather have the Caymus than the flowers. Make no mistake about it.
But that's what I'm saying.
But don't you think on the...
Get a little social lubricant in there.
That's right.
While you're sipping and painting.
Love Caymus.
Exactly.
Beautiful bottle of wine.
I feel like on TV shows and movies, first dates, the people show up with the flowers to the door. They knock on the door, right?
Did you bring flowers on the first date?
No, I didn't realize my first date was a first date because my wife and I knew each other forever. And so it was like retroactively our first date. We were hanging out anyway as friends. And then I realized afterwards, because I literally called two of my friends. What you look very confused.
I'm just trying to figure out at what point in the evening did you realize it was a date?
Okay. Yeah, and I want to know too.
Great question. Great question.
I know too.
We'll get to that coming up. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Shout out to Miley.
So what date is appropriate for flowers? There's a debate here. CeCe saying fourth.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I think having the flowers delivered is more of a flex than actually giving them the flowers when you see them on a date.
So you go to like Boots, you get them done,
Like our expert resident social media guy, Rob, always says, like, when you show some thought behind something and you make it deliberate, i.e. planning the delivery rather than grabbing flowers last minute, per se, it just... it hits different. So I think the delivery is a bigger flex than actually giving the flowers to him when you see him on a date.
All right. So you asked me the question about how did I not know my first date with my wife was my first date, right?
Yes.
Okay. There is a logical explanation for this. So my wife and I have known each other our whole lives, and we've been friends for a long period of time. I was living in Florida. She came down to visit. We'd always been friends. She came down to visit. We hung out that night. That was a Friday night, I believe. And I go home. And on the way home, I called two of my friends, girlfriends, not girlfriend, but friends that are girls. And I said, I think she's into me. And they're like, no chance in hell. And they knew her also. Both of them said, there's absolutely no way.
Wow.
That they she's think in- she's out of your league?
Well, she is.
Like, is that what they were insinuating?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And these are people I've known for a long period of time. They're like, no, there's no chance that she's into you.
Okay.
I said, okay, well, she mentioned that maybe we'd get together again on Sunday because she was in town for the weekend and hang out on Sunday. And they're like, all right, if she reaches out to you to make plans like for lunch or whatever on Sunday, then you're right. And she did. And so that was it. And literally since then, we've been together. So I retroactively look at my first date with her as a night that we just went to dinner as friends. I had no idea about that. Honestly.
So she pursued you?
No. There's no way on earth that she could pursue me.
But she reached out to you to hang out again on Sunday.
Well, because she lives by her word. She said she would do it. And I'm like, there's no way she's actually going to do it. And she did it. I still can't believe it.
So what was the second date?
Well, the second date, I think we just got like frozen yogurt or something. The first date, we went to dinner. And there's a tennis tournament in Del Rey that I was going to anyway that night. I'm like, do you want to go to tennis? And she's like, I haven't played in forever. I'm like, no, I'm not playing, watching. And it's a sneaky good date.
Tennis
at night. Not, it's like the movie. Not a lot of talking. You talk in between points. You're outside. There's a nice area in there. A tennis match.
Interesting.
Did you pay?
Of course.
Okay, so it was a date.
Yeah, but I had, well, when you say pay, I had free tickets. Just like anything.
But you went to dinner, though. Did you pay for dinner?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't remember.
Maybe you paid, and then she's like, oh, maybe Evan's into me like this. He paid for dinner.
Then he asked to hang out after dinner? Yeah.
Tennis after dinner.
Tennis after dinner. Doesn't that sound like an Evan first date? Tennis after dinner.
1,000%.
Yeah. I'm telling you, underrated. I can see CC's mind rolling now. He's like, maybe I will take my wife to the U.S. Open this summer at night. And there is kind of a nice, it's nice, it's calm, it's nice.
Tennis after dinner.
Okay. I'm just saying, All right, so first date, yes or no for flowers. Third, like, what's our definitive answer here on flowers relative to dates? Fourth? You're saying fourth.
It has to be the fourth date.
Fourth date.
Smalls? I'm never going to say no to flowers. I love flowers, but I think if I was going on a first date with someone and they brought flowers, that might be like, okay, wow, this is a lot.
Second date, it's okay?
Depends on how well the first date went. Like, what if we had a second date? What if we had so much fun? Yeah, and there was a second date.
See, if somebody brings you flowers on the first date, you probably assume they do that for everybody. Right? Every first date they're on, that's like their standard mode of operation. Like, I'm going to bring the roses. Like, they have like 10 of them in their apartment ready to go. Yeah. I got a date with this person on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I don't know that I've ever done the flowers for a date. Just saying. I don't think any flowers are going to be exchanged between Duke and Wake Forest over the weekend.
No time.
As Duke was upset by Wake Forest on Saturday. The court was stormed by the Wake Forest fans. Kyle Filipowski of Duke had an interaction with some of the Wake Forest fans. A little bit of an injury now as a result. And he spoke to WFMY News 2 afterwards about that court storming.
I felt a bunch of hits on my body. This one was the worst of them. It's just really ridiculous of how that situation's handled.
Did you feel like any of it was on purpose or was it incidental?
I mean, I've already heard that there's some videos of getting punched in the back, and so I absolutely feel like it was personal, intentional for sure. You know, like I said, there's no reason where they see a big guy like me trying to work my way up the court and they can't just work around me. You know, there's no excuse for that.
Well, after he said that, his head coach, John Shire of Duke, after his team was upset and there was the court storming, had this to say.
I'm more concerned about the well-being of our guys. You know, Flip sprains his ankle. When are we going to ban court storming? Like, when are we going to ban that? Like, how many times does a player have to get into something where they get punched or they get pushed or they get taunted, right? In their face. And it's a dangerous thing. You look around the country and Caitlin Clark, something happens. And now Flip, I don't know what his status is going to be. He sprains his ankle. And it's one thing, like when I played, at least it was 10 seconds in the court, you know, you would storm the court. Now it's the buzzer doesn't even go off and they're running on the floor. And this has happened to us a bunch this year. It's part of it. We need to be better. We need to learn from this. That needs to stop.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I'm not going to pretend that court storming isn't a bit of an issue in terms of player safety. But what Kyle Filipowski did over the weekend, I mean, it didn't necessarily seem like he had any kind of urgency in getting himself out of harm's way. And as a player, you have to have that level of awareness, right? You got to protect yourself. It seems like in a lot of ways, he was the one that antagonized that situation by sticking his leg out and letting that fan that was storming the court trip over his leg. Now, he fell and subsequently got hit by other fans that are storming the court, but it didn't seem like Kyle Filipowski was in a hurry to get himself out of harm's way, and that's absolutely what you should be doing under those circumstances. knowing the type of environment that you're in. So I'm not going to sit here and victim blame, but at the same time, I don't think that what Kyle Filipowski did is akin to what we saw from Caitlin Clark when she was trying to exit the court earlier this season and ran into somebody that was storming the court. So I think two things can be true. I think that some of the onus can be placed on Filipowski over the weekend for what happened to him. But I also think that, you know, court storming in terms of how we protect the players needs to be addressed, needs to be revisited by the NCAA and all of the conferences and collegiate sports.
Yeah, it definitely needs to be revisited. When we were just watching the footage again, another thing popped in my mind. After the initial contact was made and he was kind of turned around and all these other fans were running into him, once members of Duke Athletics got a hold of him, they could barely get him off the court and get him where he needed to be because so many fans were running towards them. There was numerous people around him and they could still barely move him out of the way. So that's another thing that needs to be discussed is it's not even just the initial contact, but these people, once they're stuck in the middle of it, can't really even get out. You can't move freely. So that needs to be a part of the conversation as well.
Yeah, I'm anti this altogether. I don't think it should happen. I understand the arguments against it. Even if Kyle Filipowski was wrong in the way in which he operated, I still don't think he should be physically close enough to fans storming a court to even have the opportunity to do that move, right? Yeah. If he's going to stick out his leg or bump a fan because of whatever the reason may be, forget the blame game in what I'm saying right now. Because CeCe already brought up the fact that it can't just be one side of this, right? I guess what I'm saying is I don't want players and fans to be that close together on a court after an emotional loss for a team where anything like this could happen. I've always said I believe there's more downside than upside with the court storming. So if you're going to say, which both of you have said, you're not eliminating it, it will not happen, then there has to be measures taken, have to be measures taken, where we do something here to alter this, whether it's a shot clock in essence for fans to come on the court and then players to walk off the court. And or what I think is actually going to happen, and I think people will rip the players for it ultimately, but they should think twice before doing that, which is I believe the players will be removed from the court that are not on the actual court prior to the game ending if it's a blowout loss in an upset fashion. If Duke is down 10 points with 10 seconds to go and there's a stoppage of play, I believe that you will have the entire Duke bench removed from the bench, and those five guys are going to have to fend for themselves, though, and there will be no handshake line. Big deal.
I think it's something as simple as having a half a dozen security staff members there in place to usher the players and the coaches off of the court when the game is over. Mm-hmm. Find the quickest exit out of the away from the court, out of the arena, to get the fan to get the players and the coaches to the locker room. That's what the security staff has got to be there for. Like, I understand that there's typical event security staff that's already in place, but have additional security staff members that are there just to make sure that nobody is hurt in the event that there could be fans storming the court. Like, that's what you have to do. How can we get the players from the court to the locker room as quickly and as safely as possible under these circumstances? It's clear that you're not just going to have to rely on the assistant coaches and the players to do it themselves. There has to be arena security staff that's there to do it. I think that's the best way to do it. I don't know that you're going to be able to ban or eliminate court storming altogether. I don't know that it's going to happen. I mean, we are talking about a basketball court. There are a lot of people that are sitting around the court. I mean, it's tens of thousands of fans. If they want to get on the court, they're going to be able to overwhelm whatever security you have in place to get on the court. It's just a matter of being able to get the players and the coaches away from the court into the locker room.
And they're students, too. Emotionally charged students who want to be a part of this moment.
I guess there's only one other option, and that would be maybe to hire Cam Newton to fight all of them off. Just a thought.
Wow.
888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. What do these sports, college football and basketball specifically, men's and women's, need to do about court storming, if anything? 888-SAY-ESPN is your telephone number to join the show. Your phone calls on that. Plus, could the number one pick in the draft be traded? We'll get to it. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Evan Canty and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
Fans do not belong on the court.
I don't like court stormings. Never have.
When are we going to ban court storming? Like, when are we going to ban that?
Someone's going to get hurt.
I absolutely feel like it was personal.
Someone did get hurt. Blame game up in the air. Well, not for everybody. CC is definitely putting that on Kyle Filipowski. Hopefully he's okay, not rooting for injury. But at the same time, that kind of position that a player was in, Caitlin Clark earlier this season, is not one that players should ever have to be in. We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. We're going to get your phone calls in at 888-SAY-ESPN in this court storming. But we heard about someone, a friend, who was given flowers over the weekend on a date. We're debating what date it should be, first, second, third. CeCe says fourth. Smalls is saying, if you're giving me flowers, I'll take them outside of the first date. I'm good. Nuno found something very interesting, and he's right. Good job by Nuno. Holly from our station in Cleveland, ESPN Cleveland, 850 WKNR, tweeted into the show at Unsports ESPN. I need the at Unsports ESPN take on using a gift card on a first date.
Ooh, on a first date?
See, that's the thing. The person that you're out on a date with can never know you used the gift card.
Yes.
So I wouldn't have a problem with using the gift card, but they can never know it. So that means you got to go aside. You got to act like you're going to the bathroom, excuse yourself from the table, settle up with the wait person, and use the gift card then away from the table so the person that you're with never knows you used it.
Smart play.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
You can use it, but you can't put it down when the check comes and have that conversation.
Nah.
Just to play devil's advocate for a second, I'm not saying I would do it, but just to play devil's advocate, wouldn't the person you're going on a date with now think you're efficient, you're smart, you're cost savings?
No. Maybe, or they might think that you didn't really want to go on the date. You just had a gift card to use.
Exactly. There's that part of it.
Now, what if somebody suggests a location because they have it? Like, if you're asking someone out and they say, oh, I'd love to go to X, Y, and Z, and then they have the gift card. The person who gets asked out has the gift card.
Wait, you're saying...
A guy asks you out.
Okay.
And you say, hey, I'd love to go to place X.
That doesn't happen.
Okay.
Usually, in my... dating experience, a guy will say, okay, we want to go out. How about Tuesday? How about 8 o'clock? They make the reservation.
The guy has to have the plan.
The guy has the plan.
If the guy doesn't have the plan, then she's probably, exactly. It's probably okay. Not going to work out anyway.
So
guy, here's the thing. If the guy doesn't come up with the plan, then she's just going to get a free meal.
So when can you use the gift card? What date? Or do you have to be in a relationship?
I think once it's official, you bring out the gift card.
Like, oh, we're together. We're Facebook official. Now I have a $25.
Evan, Facebook official.
Whatever.
Facebook official is not a thing.
Whatever the hell it is. I'm so far out of this.
Facebook official. What is it called?
Evan Cohen is in a relationship on Facebook.
Relationship status.
Official. It's complicated. By the way, I heard a really sneaky good diss about Facebook the other day where someone said, you know that person? They look like they're really active on Facebook.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, that says a lot.
That speaks volumes.
I don't know what's going on now. I'm so old. I have no idea what's happening. Jeff in Wisconsin listening on the ESPN app. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call again.
So I know this idea will not assuage any injury ideas, but so if they storm the court and let's say you get 500 students on the field or on the court, you close off all the exits where they can go outside of the court, and then you have cops and security waiting, and you give them, say, $500 fines, $1,000 fines. That would recoup the money that the school has to pay, because let's face it, if somebody gives you a fine and your dad has to pay it, who cares? Like, you don't care. Like, it's not your money. But you block off so they can not
get out.
There's
got to be, Jeff, I'm sorry to interrupt, and thank you for the phone call. There's got to be somewhere in between, like, basically fans getting arrested or fined or whatever it is. And
you're not going to hand out 1,000 fines to fans. I mean, that's not going to happen.
I got to be honest. What I thought he was going to say was that you block off all the entrances. You have one exit, and you have to pay an exit fee to get out. Like, all right, I just stormed the court. Here's $5 for me to leave this. Now, I don't know what's going to happen if they don't. You're going to sleep there? Yeah. I mean, there's somewhere in between there. AJ in Austin, listening on 102.7 in Austin. What's up, AJ?
Yeah, I kind of agree with somewhat of what Chris says about, like, beefing up security, but a little to a lesser degree, maybe beef up security towards the end of games. In one little area where you only have like one or two entrance points onto the court for the court storming. I think that would be a solid solution.
Yeah, but the thing that I would be nervous about, and thanks for the call, would be then everybody trying to get to a certain entrance onto the court, and then, God forbid, people getting trampled there. So if you're going to have any kind of court storming, it almost has to be exactly how it's done now, but with better rules and regulations. I think just the countdown clock makes a lot of sense. If you're gonna, I would outlaw it altogether. But with you guys saying, hey, that's not going to happen, the countdown clock to get onto the court is probably the best way of doing it.
Yeah, but what's the pushback against having security in a designated exit for the players off the court?
No, that's fine. I thought you meant for the fans. I agree with you on that. Yeah, no. That's good. I'm totally fine with that.
No, like I think you have a half a dozen security staff members there in place to take the team off the court, to get the players and the coaches out of harm's way, and you have a designated exit from the court that everybody is made aware of from the moment they go into the arena.
It's
like
protocol.
When you go into the locker room, this is the protocol, this is your exit. So if there's a court storming situation, this is where you go to.
Yeah.
This is the exit that you go to. The security staff members will be in place. We'll get you off the court. You don't have to worry about what happened on Saturday becoming a thing.
Yeah. And I like the idea about the countdown clock, but you're also putting a lot of hope and stock into the fact that the fans would obey that clock.
Yeah, like we're going to have some kind of decorum, right? Like about, we're not going to storm the court until 10 seconds after everybody, all the players, all the coaches get up. No, it's not going to happen like that.
Yeah.
Like there's too much structure around something that's emotionally charged.
Yeah.
I mean, there's another way about it. Don't lose. Tal in Raleigh on 99.9. Like, honestly, this happened because Duke lost. If Duke didn't lose, this doesn't happen.
Right.
As the better I know you can't control that.
There's going to be upsets.
But in its simplest form, don't get upset. Tal in Raleigh listening on 99.9, The Fan. What's up, Tal?
Hey, good morning. It's kind of hard to be able to stop the court storming, and especially if a team feels like they can still win the game. Really, it's going to be up to the coaches and maybe some staff say, hey, look, we need to call a timeout, get these guys off the floor. I don't think they're going to win. But when it's close like that, it's kind of hard. And the second thing is, there is truck etiquette on the road. Large trucks are supposed to stay to the right unless they're passing or otherwise directed by the law offices. That's all I'm going to say. You guys have a great
interesting.
Day.
That is interesting. So that reverts back to something Pat Costello, our producer, said about an hour ago, and I'm over it. So thank you for listening that long, which is a great thing, by the way, that Pat is very annoyed by the big pickup truck or big truck in general.
Yeah,
the 18-wheeler, driving on the left lane. That he's saying that there is truck etiquette that you must drive on the right lane. So they're just doing that to screw with Pat is what we're learning.
Probably.
I'm cool with
that.
I can
understand.
So they are messing with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that if it's Pat. Eric in Compton listening on 710 ESPN in L.A.
Hello?
Hello.
Okay, now, I agree with everybody, but on the thing is, what you do quickly, you got cameras in that in every building or every stadium. Once these people come across that line and do with them the storming, you find each one of them $5,000. I ain't talking about the school, the people. And then they got 30 days to pay it, or they go to jail for 30 days. And if they minors, have their daddy and their mama pay it. And if they don't pay it, they'll go to jail for 30 days. And I bet you they're going to put that in Congress and try to, you know, vote on it. Until the vote, they won't run in there. Because the law start right there.
Eric, we've gone a little too far.
Don't Congress got some other things to worry about?
They have other storming to worry about.
Wow.
Evan.
Wow.
Just saying.
Wow.
So, first date etiquette.
I'm just saying, we're going to have Congress worry about court storming?
Wow. Okay. Also, I did not see that coming.
Imagine the manpower it would take to pull the footage, identify all the students, find out where they live, send them the fine.
Congress has experience with that, apparently.
Oh, now back to first date.
I just don't think that's a realistic way to go about this.
No, that's not going to happen.
Finding students for wanting to celebrate the joy of a moment in sports, I think that's a little extreme.
And they're kids, right? Like, we're talking about 19, 20, 21-year-olds. They're
going to be excited. They're going to be Bud Light. What do we expect?
It's a part of their college experience.
Yes.
Like, they're gonna storm the court. Like, trying to ban court storming, it's not going to happen. That's why Tom Crean, former basketball coach at Indiana, said it. Like, it's not going to happen. The best thing that you can do is levy the fines to the schools. Like, I think last week, LSU had to pay Kentucky $100,000 because of the court storming. But the court storming was awesome in that moment. Like, it was awesome to see that scene and Angel Reese celebrating with her counterparts on LSU's men basketball team. Like, it was cool to have that moment. But we also have to acknowledge, okay, even in having that, we have to have a safe way to remove the visiting players, the visiting coaching staff, make sure they get out of harm's way. And to me, that's why you bring in additional security staff in order to facilitate that. And you have a game plan with a designated exit that is going to usher all of the coaches and players off the court as quickly as possible.
Coming up, we have all the
small things.
But first, CC has this from Granger.
Yes, for the ones who get it done, like Wake Forest did on Saturday. Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
That open makes me think of Bing Bong. It makes me think that maybe I should be a Knicks fan.
Really?
I still need an NBA team.
No. It's only going to result in heartbreak.
Really?
Don't do it to yourself. Ask Nuno. I mean, he'll tell you. If you have a choice on whether or not you want to be a Knicks fan, choose not to be.
Really?
Yes, they will torture you.
Even though it feels like things are in a good place and it's trending up?
Things are in a good place. I don't know if they're trending up, but they're in a good place. They're at least functional, they're competent, but I don't know if that's going to result in a championship.
Okay.
I wouldn't saddle up to ride that horse.
I need an NBA team. I need an NFL team. Yeah. I need a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I'm surprised you're not rolling with the Boston Celtics, though. The C's? St. Louis.
Jason Tatum.
St. Louis' very own?
But we have a tortured relationship with Boston. St. Louis does. Red Sox in 04.
That's fair.
The Bruins, Stanley Cup Final, that's worked out in our favor. But, you know, we have
Tatum
a little
is your
beef
guy,
with
though.
Him.
He believes he's the face of the NBA moving forward.
Over Scotty Barnes?
Surprisingly.
Wow.
If Jason Tatum wins a chip, do you think he is the face of the NBA now moving forward?
No.
Ooh,
He's awesome.
I don't know.
As long as LeBron is there,
if he does win a chip, yes.
I think he could be, too.
Yes, because of the franchise that he plays for, the Boston Celtics, like the visibility, yeah. Yeah.
He does everything right.
Because all of a sudden now he's cemented. Like he's cemented with those Celtics greats.
Yes.
Like he's up there.
I'm with you. I think he is. Why not?
Because LeBron's still here. I think we're searching for a face. LeBron ain't going anywhere. And if you watch him play, which we all do, he's so much better than anyone else on this team, and they're only competitive because of him. And I'm not Mr. LeBron James fan, like number one LeBron James fan. But the more you watch him, the more you realize his teams cannot function without him.
Well, LeBron James became the face of the NBA while Kobe Bryant was still playing.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see it. I don't see it.
Okay, all right.
I still think Wemby.
Okay. Well, you know who is not in question as the face of college basketball, men or women's, is Caitlin Clark. So let's start there. Let's start with the superstar herself, Caitlin Clark of Iowa. She got her 16th career triple-double yesterday, fresh off of that. Tough loss Thursday at Indiana for the number 4 Hawkeyes, but they bounced back, unfortunately, against Mai Illini yesterday, 101-85 victory. Caitlin Clark, 24 points, 15 rebounds, 10 assists. It was her fifth triple-double this season. Her career total, second among NCAA Division I women or men's players, only behind Sabrina Ionescu, who had 16 back in her playing days. And this is what I really wanted to talk about. Caitlin Clark, on top of that, also was immortalized yesterday. The spot where she hit that long-range three to become the NCAA women's basketball all-time leading scorer 2 weeks ago, they immortalized that exact spot on the Carver-Hawkeye Arena floor. It's her name underneath the 22 outlined in yellow with the black font there. I love that the decal is immortalized on the floor there. It's just another piece of history that Caitlin Clark has.
That's dope that you have your name on the court.
That spot.
That is awesome.
35 feet from the rim.
That is great.
I know.
And you knew it was going to be one of those shots to break the record, too.
Of course. But yeah. I love that other athletes that are playing after her are going to want to try to hit it from the Clark spot. Yeah, you know, this is going to be a sweet spot on the floor. I can just imagine that in calls moving forward. I love this.
Do you think there's any chance she comes back to college? She technically could. I was just checking out the ESPN.com mock WNBA draft, and she's obviously number one overall to the Indiana Fever. Is there any chance she's like, I'm going to come back for another year? She technically could.
If they don't win, maybe?
I don't know. I'm just like, does she love it so much? It's her home school. She's like absolutely embraced there in a way that she can't be embraced other places. Yeah. She could be the biggest star anywhere she goes, and it's not like playing in Iowa for her. Any chance? 1%?
I guess there's always a chance.
There's always a chance just because the money in the NIL is so big now.
And she's such a star.
It's going to rival whatever her contract is early on in the WNBA. So, yeah.
That is something you'd have to think about. You're giving up all that NIL money to go to the league.
You're giving up a lot of NIL money to go to the WNBA.
Big time.
I mean, it might be something where she just decides to ride it out and go.
And people could say, well, what do you mean? Why couldn't she get endorsement money? Because we don't have the list in front of us of all the NIL money. But businesses in and around Iowa may want her more than businesses in and around Indiana would want her. Now, it's not that they would give... Like, they would still take her, but there's no guarantee of that.
Yeah, plus you have alumni that are rich and famous from Iowa that can line up to throw as much money at her as they possibly want in order to get her to stay.
And you better believe they're going to.
Oh, of course they're going to. It's a source of pride. I mean, here's somebody that's Iowa-born and bred and breaks the all-time scoring record with the Hawkeyes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Take a pay cut to go to the league. How about that?
That's actually crazy to think about.
Take a pay cut to go to the league.
That is the world we're
living. All you got to do is ask every SEC player before NIL. SEC football player before NIL. Took a pay cut to go to the NIL.
The Fab Five documentary available on ESPN Plus. What were you saying?
Well, Caitlin Clark is the face of college basketball. Victor Wembanyama, we're thinking, could be in the running to be the potential new face of the NBA, maybe after LeBron James. Friday night, he put up some great numbers. 27 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 steals, 5 blocks, according to Our Stats and Info. He became just the second player to have 5 blocks and 5 steals in back-to-back games, joining only Michael Jordan.
He's good.
He is pretty good. But Victor Wembanyama wasn't pleased with those numbers he put up because the Spurs lost that game to the Lakers 123-118. Here's what Wemby had to say after the game.
I mean, it's I wonder if he did it in wins, not losses, you know. But it's to me, it's secondary. You know, hopefully, in the future, we can look back and think this is a good performance, you know, but it's... as of today, I'm, you know, I can't be satisfied with a loss.
Good attitude, the right attitude. The problem is they've had a lot of losses this year. They stink. They're projected out to, right now they have the third worst record in the NBA, I believe 11-47.
Yeah.
So coming off of the unfortunate injury that this guy had yesterday, I'm going to put CC to the fire on this one. Right now, who says no? Let's assume salaries can match. The lottery pick the Spurs would have for Trae Young. Trae Young out 4 weeks. I'm just throwing this out there. Let's say they could figure out a way for salaries to match. Trae Young from Atlanta to San Antonio for their lottery pick, assuming it's not number one overall.
Ooh.
Kind of makes sense for both, right?
That would be interesting. Yeah, being able to pair a point guard with Victor Wembanyama, and because of Wemby's size, he can kind of protect Trae Young, not necessarily the best defender.
That's an understatement.
It seems like that would be a pretty good match. I just don't know if Pop would want to deal with somebody like Trae Young.
Okay.
Like if Trae Young would be a Pop point guard, like it just doesn't necessarily fit in terms of the mold that we've seen down there in San Antonio for the last couple of decades.
All right, Smalls.
Well, last story, somebody who is a fit, Cody Bellinger with the Cubs. Wanted to give a shout out to
them.
I thought that this was a great move. Jeff Passan reporting, Cody Bellinger, 3-year, $80 million deal with Chicago. He was in a tough spot coming out of L.A. last year, heading into the Cubs on a 1-year prove-it deal. He had a great resurgent year. I thought this was a very smart move for the Cubs to bring him back, especially at this cost.
Why is Major League Baseball free agency still going on? They don't know how to do this. I'm sorry. There's no launch date. There's no end date. Blake Snell is still a free agent, right? I mean, this is a Cy Young pitcher that people have talked about with the Yankees. They got to figure this out. It's like embarrassing that free agency is still going on. I'm sorry. Congratulations to Cody Bellinger.
Cubs got an MVP. It's pretty good.
There you go.
Great deal.
Not great for your cards.
We're on Sportsmanlike.
They're still favorite in the division.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.